Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We thank the Lord for this day. I want to give you a brief update on what's going on over here in Kenya. Coming to you from Kenya today, and the Lord is blessing us with lots of rain, and so our crops are doing well. We're very thankful for that. And so we have some projects going, first and foremost, getting the children back in school. All of the children here in Kenya pay school fees. There's no such thing as free school. Even primary kids pay school fees, and so that's a big burden for the ministry. If you can help in any way getting these kids back to school, stay tuned to the end of this broadcast, and you will get contact information. And some of the secondary school children here in Kenya that we are keeping at the children's home, they require 40,000 Kenya shillings, that's $400, to 50,000, that's $500 for the year to get them back in school. So it becomes a very costly burden to see that these children are in school. And in Kenya, you cannot homeschool. That is against the law. So you have to get them in school. You have to buy uniforms for them, shoes, all these things is part of the expenses of getting children in school. So if you can help in that way, that would be great. And you would be blessed. We would be blessed. And the children would certainly be blessed. And then again, we have a team that is preparing to come to the U.S. for Encounter God training. Some of the conferences this summer we're going to try to attend and get this team trained up so that we can conduct Encountering God conferences here in Kenya and across Africa in the days and years ahead. So pray about your part. Love to have you get alongside us in the ministry, support this ministry. Pray about your part, and God will raise you up. Well, today we're going to be talking about Great Faith, Part 2. If you were with us last week, you know we talked about faith and the definition of it. I'm going to review that definition here today, just so we have a place to start out and to jump off from. And so in Hebrews chapter 11, I believe the Apostle Paul wrote this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we believe for things we can't see, and we believe to the extent that we're convinced, the evidence or the conviction of those things not seen. And so we believe for them and we hope for them, but even more than that, we put our faith into action to give support to the belief or give support to the evidence that we believe that whatever we believe for is going to come to pass. And so we don't walk by sight. We don't wait until we can see everything that we're hoping for. We don't wait until we can see the things that we believe for, whether it's in ministry or maybe you want somebody to come into your life, to be your partner, to be your mate. You start to believe for that. You start to act for that. You clean your house up. So you believe for things that you have not seen, and you start to act as if those things have already come to pass in your life. And so verse 2 in chapter 11, it says, For by the faith the elders obtained a good testimony. And last week we talked a little bit about some of the elders, and I want to talk more about that today, some of the elders of past and the great testimonies that they had. And the Apostle Paul is speaking here about the elders of the Old Testament saints, but also we have elders in our own congregations. We have elders in our own churches, and some of them have done mighty exploits for the Lord. I think of the elders when I was growing up in my home church. I think of the elders, and I had great respect for those men. I had great respect for their prayers. I had great respect for their faith, and I believe we had some very godly men in the times that I was growing up. I believe we had some very godly men, not only in our local churches here, but also some godly men who were leading this nation. And if you look back to the founding documents of the nation of the United States. We had some very founding documents that were very righteous men that were responsible for bringing this nation into being, bringing this nation into existence, and they expressed their faith through the founding documents. You can go to wallbuilders.com, that's David Barton's ministry, and you can read many of the founding documents, and you'll see that this nation was founded by men that had great faith. They believed for great things for this nation. They put those beliefs onto paper, and the founding documents then speak of the faith that our founding fathers had for this great nation. Well, the elders of old that the Apostle Paul is speaking about in verse 7, he starts out talking about some of them, and I'm going to mention just a few of these elders of old. I'm going to mention them and speak just a little bit about the great faith journey. You can go back and read about these men in your own time, and a woman, you can read about them in your own time. The Old Testament is nothing but a history of the Jewish people. I shouldn't say nothing but, it is a great recounting of the history of the Jewish people, and it's also an exposé of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." So that righteousness comes by faith. That righteousness came to Noah. Noah was one of eight people that went into the ark, and even greater than the faith to go into the ark was, I think, the faith to build the ark. That ark was over 400 feet long. It was about 80 feet high, three stories high. He gathered two of every kind of animal on the face of the earth to go into that ark. And so it was a great step of faith. He had never seen rain before at this point in time in history. He had no idea what was coming. He just believed the words that God spoke to him, and he believed it to the point where he spent over 100 years building this great ark, over 100 years in faith, acting out in faith. And I'm sure he was mocked, I'm sure he was ridiculed, I'm sure he was persecuted. He was probably the scorn of his community. He was probably suffering at the hands of mockers every day when they went by watching him build this great ark. And yet he stayed with it. He persevered. He kept believing because God had given him a vision, and he was moved with godly fear. Beloved, when you are moved with godly fear, you're going to do things that you would never do in your natural. You're going to believe for things that you've never believed for in your natural. When God gave me a vision to come to Africa to preach, I didn't know one single person here. I didn't know any ministries here. I had a little bit of idea of what it was like in Africa, but that was totally shattered when I got here, because my preconceived notions of what it was like here were totally off. And so I came here out of faith, but I was moved also with godly fear because God had shown me this is what he wanted me to do. There was no uncertainty. There was no doubt when he gave me that vision back in 2010. Actually, it was a dream, but it was like a vision. It was so distinct, so clear, and so compelling that when I received that, I was moved with godly fear because I knew this is what God wanted me to do. I wanted in my natural to keep going to Costa Rica. I'd been going down there to preach and minister to the Quebecer indigenous people down in the mountains of Costa Rica. But I knew from that vision, from that dream, this is what God wanted me to do. He was opening up the door for me to come here. And shortly after that dream, I was receiving a call from an evangelist friend who said, Jim, we're going to Nairobi and going to preach the word, going to do a crusade over there and minister to orphans and minister to the people in Kibera, a big slum in Nairobi. And so I was moved by godly fear, and I knew this is what God wanted me to do. And so I stepped out in faith, and Noah, in the same way, he prepared this ark for the saving of his household, in which he condemned the world. All of the rest of the world was destroyed in the flood, and because of Noah's righteous act, he condemned the rest of the world. Of course, God sent the flood, and God was the one that destroyed the world, but by Noah's faith, he condemned the rest of the world. By Noah's faith, he showed the rest of the world that he was on God's side, that he was stepping out and doing the will of God in his life. And then in verse 8, Apostle Paul goes on to say, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place which he would receive as an inheritance. He was called by God. He was in an ungodly place. He was called by God to go to another place. And he knew nothing about that place. He'd never been there before, but he was called by God to go to this place because that's where his inheritance would come from. He would receive an inheritance. And so Abram left with his wife, Sarah, with his entourage, and they came eventually to dwell in the land, verse 9, and by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And so we know now that that land is Israel, the home of the children of God, the home of God's people, the Jewish race of people. And so that land was given to Abram and his descendants, or Abraham now. He was given that land and to his descendants and to his seed, which is Jesus Christ, and his seed and the descendants of his seed, Jesus Christ. We are the ones who inherited the promise that was given to Abraham. And of course, Abraham had no children late in his life. He was 100 years old. His wife Sarah was 90, I believe. And by faith, Sarah, verse 11, herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful. She judged God faithful, who had promised. And so there came the inheritance. Isaac was born of that relationship. Isaac was born, and then Jacob. And from Jacob came the 12 sons, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so the seed, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, then came out of the tribe of Judah. And the rest is history. You might say the rest is history, but it's also present tense. The rest is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, came out of the race of people, God's chosen people. Abraham started off there in the land of Israel. And so these people all stepped out in great faith. Can you imagine Sarah at age 90 bearing a child, and Abram at age 100 believing in the promises of God that there would be a child, there would be an inheritance, and there would be a seed born of him. Therefore, of one man, verse 12, therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Well, you look on the earth today, there's 7 or 8 billion people on the earth. 2 to 3 billion people think, 2 to 3 billion Christians on the earth, and all of those people that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are as the stars of the sky in multitude. We are a mighty army across the face of the earth. We're a mighty army here in Africa, a mighty army in America. Don't ever discount the fact, beloved, don't ever discount the fact that with God, all things are possible, and we are a mighty army to see nations change, to see nations come to know the Lord Jesus, to see nations overturn laws that are wicked laws, overturn laws that have death and destruction and the signature of the devil on those laws. And so we are a mighty army, and by faith we can make things happen. By faith we can build children's homes. By faith we can preach crusades and seek people come to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, it says in verse 13 that all of these people died in faith. All of these people died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed them that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so these people never saw the promises fulfilled in their lifetime. They actually went to a place, when they died, they went to a place in Sheol called Paradise, and they had to wait for the promise of the seed to come to fruition. They had to wait for the seed to bear fruit, and Jesus eventually was born. He went to the cross. He shed his perfect, precious blood for you, for me, and for all of these saints of old, for Abraham and Noah and Sarah, Isaac and Jacob. He shed his precious blood for them also. And when Jesus then was crucified, his blood then covered and redeemed the saints of old. And he went down to Sheol. He went to hell. He opened up the gates of hell, and he led the captivity captive. And they then were seated with Jesus at the right hand of God. And so they embraced what they could not see. They embraced with faith and believed for things that they knew were afar off and they could not see with their natural eyes, but they believed in it to the point where they stepped out in faith. And even today, now thousands of years later, we're still talking about these great saints and the faith that they exhibited and the great things that they did. If you want to know about the Ark, you can go to Kentucky and look at that ark and see what a great and mighty ark that was, built by faith, built to condemn the world, so that when God came and brought the flood, that Noah and his family were saved. Well, I want to turn over to James and finish up this teaching today, and how to put our faith into action, how to step out and do some great exploits for the kingdom, just as Noah did, just as Abraham and Sarah did. In verse 14 in chapter 2 of the book of James, James says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him?" Verse 15, "If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things for which they need or which are needed for the body, what does it profit them? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." And so what James is saying here, he's saying there are different measures of faith. If you have faith to believe that God is who he says he is and that he is the Father of Jesus Christ, that's one measure of faith. And you can sit in church and you can say, "I believe in God, that's great. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that is great. I believe that God sends his Holy Spirit," and you will have to make that confession of faith at some point in time. If you're a born-again believer, you've already made that confession. If you're not a believer and you're listening to me today, you will have to make that confession at some point in time. Jesus said, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father who is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven." And so at some point in time, you will be asked to make that confession of faith, and then you will be baptized, and you will be then written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But James says, if you do not have works to go with your faith, then your faith is considered as dead. And so the works for those who are unbelievers, the works would be to believe in God. The works would be to get baptized. The works would be to join a church, join a Bible-believing church, one that preaches, teaches, and instructs out of the Bible. Join that church and go into that church and get involved, get active in that church, the things that are happening in that church. And if you do that, then you're starting to step out in faith. You're starting to activate and express your faith. But James says if you don't do anything, if you just sit on your faith, and there's some people listening to me today, you never go to church, nobody would know that you're a believer. Nobody would know that you're a Christian. You've never given your confession of faith before men, which God calls us to do. And if you believe and you confess before men, then you're no longer a secret agent Christian. Then you're no longer isolated out there by yourself. That's why God wants us in the fellowship. That's why God wants us to step out and find a Bible-believing church, join the fellowship, and get active in the faith exploits, the faith activities of that church. And so James says again in verse 17, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, it is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith, James says, without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James says the way you can know about a person's faith and the strength of their faith, the depth of their faith, and the quantity of their faith, because faith is a substance, it can be measured. You can know that by looking at their works. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. So he's not just saying, I have faith, I have faith. He gets out and he does something. Read the whole book of James. It's the gospel put to shoe leather. And that's what God wants us to do. Put your shoes on and get to moving for the gospel. Put your shoes on and find something to do. If you're born again, you will know that going to the fellowship and finding out what people are doing there, jump in there, go into the prison and minister, go on a mission trip to Mexico or a mission trip to Africa or somewhere, jump in there, get started, put your faith to work, put your faith to action, and make it more than just words. Don't be just a hearer of the word or a seer if you're reading the word. Be a doer of the word. Put your faith into action. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. Verse 19, you believe that there is one God, you do well, but even the demons believe and tremble. So the demons, because they've seen Jesus Christ, the demons know that Jesus is real. They know who he is. They know who he says he is, and they believe it. And so they have faith. And so God is saying, do you have more faith than the demons? Because the demons believe and tremble. Do you believe and tremble? And do you believe then in putting your shoes on and getting started doing some great things for the kingdom? Well, I'm going to close up with this one verse in verse 22. And James says, do you see, he's speaking about Abraham here. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works, faith was made perfect. And so he perfected his faith. He completed his faith, or he became a mature believer. Not sinless in perfection. That's not what that word perfect means. It doesn't mean sinless. There was only one sinless, and that was Jesus Christ our Lord. But his faith was perfected or made mature and complete by the works that he did. And beloved, this is the message for you today. If you can see that, if you step out in faith, whatever it is the Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, step out in faith and get started putting the pieces together. God will put people beside you. If you want to start a ministry, if you want to start feeding the homeless, if you want to start a mission trip, God will put people beside you to help you. He will encourage you and strengthen you, and your faith will then be made perfect or complete as you complete the works. And so the faith works together with the works, and you will be made mature and complete and whole in every way. And when you stand before the Lord on your day, on your final day, He will say to you, "Come in, my good and faithful servant. I have prepared a place for you. I've seen your works. I've seen your faith, and your reward is here in this place." Well, I hope you enjoyed this message. Faith is a big, big subject. We could preach and teach on it for a long time. But anyway, read that chapter 11 in Hebrews, and it will encourage you and strengthen you when you see the testimony of the saints of old. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise the Lord for that. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to have your support, not only for the radio broadcast, but for the mission in Africa, the many things that we're doing here, and we need your support. It takes money to do these things. We can step out in faith, but it also takes money to do these things, to accomplish what the Lord has given us to do. And so I invite you to participate with this ministry. Stay tuned for contact information coming up here in just a minute. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.